Welcome. This is Steve with Illumini, where we explore, listen, learn, and enlighten. Today, we've got episode 11, and it's a conversation with James Callow. And James is a IT assistant in the computer lab at the Gong Road Children's Foundation. James is talking with us today about his role in keeping them connected to their schools for their assignments while they are not in school. Kenya is in a shutdown of their school facilities during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're finding ways to keep the online learning taking place, especially among the students who are served by Gong Road Children's Foundation and supported by the Friends of Gong Road. James also happens to be an alumni of Gong Road Children's Foundation, where he began, actually is one of the first handful of students that were sponsored in the program. So he has the perspective of not only being someone working in the office and helping to connect the students, but he's actually has gone through the program and been supported by Friends of Gong Road and Gong Road Children's Foundation. So it's a really interesting perspective to get from him. I really apologize. We had some real challenges with the audio on this, and we hope we can splice it together well enough for you to clearly understand. It might sound a little choppy in some places because we had some strange modulations taking place, which can be expected sometimes. We are just talking across the globe, and it's still a wonder that we can do that on a regular basis. So with that, here is my conversation with James. Well, hi, I'm here with James Callow, and he's an IT assistant in the computer lab at Gong Road Children's Foundation. Hi, James. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good. I guess there's a couple things I kind of want to talk with you about today, because it sounds like there's one part of it is you're the person who's really involved with making sure that all the students and the organization and the schools, you guys are all connected given this COVID crisis. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
And then the other part is I'm curious about, and maybe we can start with it, is a little of the history, because it sounds like you were one of the original students and your alumni of Gong Road Children's Foundation. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm an alumni.
Nice. Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, it kind of shows, we see so many kids come into the program, and then, people grow up, don't they? So you're all grown up. So you came into the program. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? Like, what was your situation and how did you come into Gong Road Children's Foundation, which I think back then was called Gong Road Children's Association?
Okay, before I joined Gong Road Children's Foundation in 2007, I was living in the rural areas with my parents. But unfortunately, my father passed away in 2005. Yeah, and my aunt, who was already living in Nairobi, knew about the organization. So she took us, I and my sister. She brought us to Nairobi, and later she introduced us to Gong Road Children's Foundation. That's how we joined the organization.
Wow. So you said you're originally from where?
In Boni. That's Cumberland.
About how far away is that from Nairobi?
It's a 2-hour drive.
And what made you move to Nairobi in the first place?
Okay. That time we were poor. After my dad passed away, could not afford to pay for our school fees. So my aunt, who was already living in Nairobi, she saw that we needed to go to school. So she decided to take us and stay with us. And later she introduced us to the organization, which helped us through primary, secondary, and college.
So it was kind of your family was already in Nairobi, your aunt, and so you had a connection into that way. Okay. And what neighborhood did you grow up in Nairobi then?
I grew up in Ngando area, Ngando slums. It is just near where the office is located.
Where did you go? Did you go to JSU primary? Is that right?
The academy was Benam Academy. It was located just near where Nelson Mandela School is. Later, I joined JSU primary, where I did my class 8.
And then where did you end up going to high school?
I went to Machakos County, a school called Ngelani Boys, where I schooled from Form 1 to Form 4.
Okay. And so when right now you're in a role of in IT, so how did you kind of evolve when you were in high school? Were you pretty good at math, or did you have interest in technology, or how did you get to the point where, you know, this is now your career?
My interest in technology started when I was in primary. So we used to go to computer classes from class 7 to 8. So I was curious to know how these machines work. So when I went to high school, I took a computer subject as my best, and I did it from Form 1 to Form 4. And by that time, I was sure what I want to do in life.
Wow, that's pretty wonderful. And so you ended up then going to a post-secondary school for your IT certificate, is that correct?
Yeah.
Where did you go to school for your IT certificate?
I went to Shalom IT Center, where I did my A+ certification.
And then how did you end up back at Gong Road?
Okay, after doing my Form 4, I used to come to the office, and I was helping in, we first took computer application packages classes that was taught by Jonah, and after that, I did very well. I got distinctions in those applications. So the organization saw that I can maybe be volunteering to do some stuff.
Very cool. And so now, kind of fast forward, you're really at the kind of the juncture point or the kind of connection point between the organization and the students, aren't you? So tell us, what does that even mean? And maybe before you even talk about that part, can you tell me about how it is right now, given the COVID-19, you know, in the slums, in the neighborhoods where the students are living? Because it sounds like, you know, school's still out there. They just mentioned this week that they are looking at going back starting September 1st. But what is it like? Kids are back at home and they're still trying to do their studies. So what does it even look like in the neighborhoods right now, if you were to take a walk down the street?
Okay, when you are walking around the streets, you'll see students just walking around, but you can't tell who, if they are really studying at home. But for our students who we know, we are sure that they have assignments that they have to do, because they sent, like for primary students and secondary students, they sent the assignments through WhatsApp, and we print them, and they later come to collect them from the office after talking to their adult workers. Are given exams which they have to do them and scan back to send to their teachers.
Which grades or form students are you mostly working with then?
Okay, we have from grade 4 to grade 8, then from 1 to form 4, those are the students who are working with. Then the post-secondary students are also here, come. And a few alumni who just need internet access.
So you're working with the whole span practically of ages.
Yeah, anybody who comes for help from the computer lab, we give them access.
Wow, that's really amazing. That's amazing. So how many students would you say you're generally working with?
A week, we can have like almost 20 students who have accessed the computer lab.
Are students literally coming into the computer lab at certain times during the week as well, or are they just coming in and picking up their assignments?
Okay, for those who are picking assignments, they don't spend a lot of that time in the computer lab. For those doing online classes, we can give them the time they need to. Maybe those doing research, we give them time until they finish their research. And we allow like only 7 students in the computer lab observing all the safety guidelines. So since now we only allow students to come to the computer lab on Tuesdays and Thursdays, after maybe on Thursday when the students are there, on Wednesday we have to clean the used computers. So we sanitize them, we disinfect for maybe just for any case that maybe a student was infected and we don't know. So we have to do that.
So, James, I'm wondering what the plans are going forward. Like, when the students start to go back to school, will that basically end this kind of function, or how do you see it? Do you know how that's going to work as things transition back to going into school?
For now, we are not sure if the students will go back to school at once. But if they don't, some of them goes back to school and others remain at home. We have to continue with this process of printing assignments.
And at this point, what's the status? Are there any students that you know of who have contracted the disease, or is everyone still healthy?
No name of any student who has contracted the disease. I think everyone is keeping safe. We have not had any case.
That is really, really great. And everybody at the office, the staff, everyone as well?
Yeah, safe. Everybody is safe.
That's really, really great news. I think that's really a good update, really important role that you've got there to make sure that, you know, I think we're all realizing that we have a lot more reliance on technology as we've been directed to be more socially distant. And it's more like we're physically distant, but it's almost like we're socially connected because we've got technology, isn't it?
Yeah, we have technology and it is doing everything for us.
It's the work that you're doing to help make that all work and keep everyone connected. I don't know if you have any, but do you have any examples or stories to share from any of the students that you've worked with in terms of how they're coping with the pandemic?
For now, I've not talked about the pandemic with any students so that they can maybe give me their full story, but it's challenging for them. It's a challenge to study at home. They have not been used to this, but they are trying their best.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, they're doing a lot of things that in a tight space and limited quarters and hard to even study when you have a lot of people around, isn't it sometimes?
Yeah, it's a challenge because maybe most of the houses they are living, they are single rooms, double rooms. They don't have like a private study room for them. So it becomes a challenge to study when everybody is there.
Yeah.
You have to wait maybe during the day, but people are not going anywhere. They are still at home. So it also becomes a challenge.
Yeah, it's like you have to be like super focused, I bet. I cannot.
Yeah, you need to focus so much.
Yeah.
So that you can get what you are studying.
Yeah. Okay, well, I really appreciate our conversation today. And I'm really glad to hear that everyone is still well, and that sounds like the measures that that you're instituting are not only keeping the students connected, but you're also keeping them safe and healthy. Are there any last comments?
I will start by thanking all donors that have been donating those laptops to the organization. I also thank the endless people the endless network people who donate, who donated for us 60 jobs, the ones we are using in the computer lab. And I will not forget to thank Food from Friends that has been keeping our family healthy. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you. Bye now.
Welcome.
Thanks. And that was the conversation with James. And I really appreciate James being able to spend some time with us to give an update of how things are functioning in Nairobi, keeping the students connected. This is an ever-changing situation. And so we're going to try to keep you up to date with this pressing issue through the podcast. If you have any comments about the podcast, please, always open to input, feedback, smile, frown, happy face, thrill, whatever. Icons, emojis, and words are welcome. Well, that's it for now. Thanks again for listening. Hope to see you next time when we try to explore, listen, learn, and perhaps enlighten. Thanks, bye. Neure chako, achako wot madhi kawora. Gimaneno, galama biro pindi rumo.